When it happens, thank you, workers, for working with them and giving an opportunity to use their voice, their talents for the Lord, and thank you for encouraging them. Well, we've been missing until today. Brother Paul Pritchard, of course, he had knee replacement surgery, and I'm going to have him just give a testimony. Brother Daniel's going to bring that microphone back to you, and just take your time. Brother, you sit right down. You don't have to worry. We understand that you're feeble, and age is just creeping up on you. Now they're replacing parts. I mean, what's next?
Well, praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And when you haven't been able to be here for a little bit, it makes it that much more precious to be in God's house. And I appreciate it tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that's helped me. Pastor visiting, come by and visit and pray with us. And Brother Larry taking us to rehab and just visits. We appreciate it. We really do. And it's amazing how that you know people are praying for you. And it helps, it really helps get through when you know your folks are praying and trusting the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I know the Lord. I'm glad that he's the surgeon, everything went successfully so far. So praise the Lord for that. No infections or everything, and I'm in rehab, and if you've ever been in rehab, you know you know what that's all about. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord. Amen, I do. I appreciate the Lord, and it got to where I just couldn't go. I just couldn't go, just pain, 24-7. And Lord, just one day, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart. I said, why don't you just go ahead and do it? So I'm on the other side of it, and I'm glad I did it. Amen. So I appreciate the church. Thank God for what you've done for Brazil and the wonderful offering that you give to the folks there in Brazil. And I tell you, they are ecstatic. They are so excited that they'll be able to do all the work that they need to be done. And I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much. We love you and appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen.
If you weren't here that night, that we voted on that as a church to send a good little bit, whatever that amount was, down to Brazil. The churches that Brother Paul was down, and of course his heart's in Brazil, and he is still doing the work, and from here helping out. But we were able to be a blessing to do a lot of work on those churches, and so that's what he's referencing. And what a joy it is to get to spend the money that God has gifted us with through faith promise offerings, faith promise grace giving missions, and getting it on the field to where it can result in souls being saved. Amen to that. And we're so thankful that you're here tonight. Now, I promise I won't keep you any longer than I have to. I won't cut it short just because there's anything else going on, but I also won't keep you any longer than I have to. And so I'd like to, for all of those who are DVR in the game, I thought we'd just have somebody come in here and tell you everything that's happened. So ruin that DVR for you. And But we have a good time anyways. Now we'll get out at normal time here. We'll stop, and I want to preach to you. But I just want to say this. You know, it's amazing in the age in which we live. Brother Paul Pritchard had knee replacement. You already had the other one done, right, brother? How long ago?
2019.
Okay. Isn't it amazing we live in an age where this is even an option? I mean, God has increased the knowledge of so many doctors, and he's given us good doctors and good staff and good technicians, and some people are doing the research behind the scenes and aren't even doing it. Others are just implementing. It's just amazing that we live in this age where these things are even possible. And so I'm so thankful for that. I know we preach a lot against all the wickedness of the day, and there is a plenty of that going on. But just think, if we didn't live when we live, a lot of these wonderful marvels that the Lord has allowed to be discovered, and that is what's happened, the Lord has allowed them to be discovered. I think he's just tipped the head up on some of these people and poured some good stuff down, because look how many thousands of years of human history we've been in, and they didn't discover it till recently. And it's just a blessing, all of the medical advances we have, and I take that from the Lord, and so we're thankful for all of it. Well, we want to look at Galatians chapter 3. We're continuing on our study or preaching through this book, Galatians chapter 3. We'll get a lengthier passage tonight, and just because it just works together good. And here we are teaching, you remember about Galatians, and that's the gospel of grace. And this epistle is against the gospel of works. We preached a little bit about that this morning. But just as a reminder, we can't get, keep, or give salvation in our own selves. It's a work of God from the beginning to the end. And I want to give you 3 points, 3 illustrations. Then we'll go watch the ball game if you want to go. That's fine. In verse 15 of Galatians 3, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. A lot of times you just got to lay all this stuff out and think your way through it. But here it goes in verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. You remember that God promised Abraham that your seed will be as the sands of the seashore, the stars. You'll be just blessed of me. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, that'd be after Abraham, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is of no more of a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Let me just sum all that up, the last phrase there, God gave it to Abraham by promise. Abraham, of course, you remember the timeline, Abraham was before the law. The law given by God to Moses and the thou shalt, the Ten Commandments, and all a bunch of others. But before that, Abraham. And so then some years and years and years later, Moses came along and God gave him the Ten Commandments, but then the law given there. But it sums it up at the end of verse number 18. It says, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so I want you to understand all the way through, and we've pretty well hammered this out, but it's just here again in the Scripture. All the way through the Old Testament, where it gives all of these laws, people were not, cannot, could not, would not, and still are not saved by the way that they live. The law was given to show people that there needed to be something done because of your imperfection. And so we look at it tonight. I want you to see, first of all, that God keeps His promises. In verse 16, Abraham and his seed, to them were the promises made. There's no way that we can look at Israel tonight. You know, if you watch anything on television, anything on the news, Israel's almost, it's as if they, their whole little country, it's not much in size, but it's as if it's a target for the world, except for America, and we're not always doing great, but we have historically been for them. But it's as if that whole little country is a target that those people all around are just bang hitting on them and just again, again, again. And it's if it had not been for the supernatural protection of God, I believe that country would have been wiped off the face of the earth long before. Even back to the day, of course, in 1947 when they were gathered back in. But before that, God was protecting His people. And He always will, because He's got a great job for them to do in His calendar or in His looking forward. So God will keep His promise. Let me give this first illustration. I think about some friends of mine. He's a preacher, but his family, he has a stepfather, and this father came into the situation, two children, little children. And he was the dad, like many of us people in this room, he was the dad to those kids, stepdad, stepchildren. That was never used in their house. He was just dad. And now I get to watch that stepkid, if you want to look at it that way, have his kids. And now his kids don't know anything about what Papa is, step-grandpa or step-anything. He's not any of that. He's just Papa. Because that man stood before the altar of his wife or his fiance, and then his wife, who had two little kids, and said, for better, for worse, richer, poorer. You know, we ought to just call it like it is, for poorer or more poor, you know. But for richer, for poorer, you know the drill. And he has stayed faithful all these years. And I use that as an illustration because it is true, it is possible for us to keep our promises. But even when we don't, God does. And to Abraham, he kept the promise as he said he would do. And there's a country of Israel tonight. And there are Jewish folks tonight. They haven't been squished into oblivion because God has kept His promise. Now, I want you to look at verse number 19, and we're going to see the law, though, as it looks where we see that God kept His promises, but we see that the law, though, did have its purpose. Look here. Wherefore, then serveth the law, or what purpose does it have, basically? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So this lineage had to go on and on and on. Eventually the Messiah would come out of that lineage, but then it had to go on and on. so that God would be true to his word, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. A mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? I'm in verse 21. And in West Virginia, we say, no way, Jose. He says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, and look at the key words there, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But it never was possible, and is it now? But the Scriptures hath concluded, all under sin, and the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. And so we see, therefore, that the law had its purpose. In verse number 19, wherefore did the law serveth the law? It had a purpose, and that purpose was valuable. Remember, it is what showed us our sins. How many of you drove here tonight? Somebody did. You come here tonight, and you pass speed limit signs, unless you came real close. And those speed limit signs, they don't make you righteous. They just show how bad you are. Some of you are little bitty sinners. Some of you are big sinners. But a speed limit sign, it can't make you righteous. It can't deem the people of that road correct. All it can do is show you're wrong and your tendency to do more wrong, and then gives you a way to fix it. And the way that is when that trooper pulls you over and says, here, son, I want to gift you something for Super Bowl Sunday. And that ticket gets fixed when you pay it or you're released from it in some way. This law, the thou shalt not, the thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not lie. People say, well, I don't know about that Old Testament. Well, that Old Testament's full of things that we're supposed to do and things we're not supposed to do. And all it does is shows us our need for that new mediator, that new testator, that Christ Jesus. And so what we see is the law has its purpose, just like that speed limit sign has its purpose. It ain't going to make you righteous, but it is going to show you how bad you are. I'll give you one illustration for this one, and that is if you go into your bathroom in the morning, you've got your mirror there and your basin, your sink. And that mirror shows your dirty face. We know in the New Testament, another place, it talks about beholding our face in a mirror. But I'm just giving this illustration. That mirror shows your dirty face. How silly it would be for you and I to expect that mirror to do anything to clean us up. We don't rub our face up against it. We've got to have that basin, and that mirror just showed us, hey, there's something wrong there. And that mirror can't clean you. All it does is purpose. Its purpose is to show you your need. And every rule that you or I might put on our life to show us how we ought to live, none of those will clean us up as far as our standing before God. All that those rules do is shows how far off the mark we find ourselves. So we see that the law did have its purpose. It does have its purpose. It shows us something's wrong. It's right smack down in your face to show you that you're in trouble. And so we see that. Now, why don't you look at verse number 23 down to 29 as we finish out this chapter. And we see, though, what the law does. If you're keeping notes, the law delivers us to Christ. One of my favorite verses in this passage is verse number 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. And so you notice how we're justified. It's by faith, but the law was involved to begin with. It was the schoolmaster. It was the teacher that brought us up. I used to think for years that schoolmaster was somehow a principal or a dean or an administrator of a school, so to speak. But after some study, actually a schoolmaster would have, many commentators said, would have most likely been a trusted slave that almost lived in with the family. Somebody that was what they'd call in old prisons a trustee. After you get in there for so long, you're kind of trusted, and they let you do some of the jobs that a guard normally would do. And so some commentators said that most likely a slave would have lived almost in with the family, maybe in a little off side of the house or wherever. And oftentimes that former slave, that indentured servant, whatever it was, would become somewhat of a butler to your children. You trusted them so much, and you had so many kids, and especially until some of the older ones got old enough to take care of the younger ones, they would dress them, they would tend to them, they would discipline them to some degree. But usually history says that when it was time for school, those schoolmasters, those trusted servants of your parents, would be the ones that would take the child and drop them off at the crude little school wherever they would go if they were able to go learn in a small setting. So that schoolmaster, we might call him a tutor, would in essence say, I've taught you all that I can. I've got you ready. I've got some food fit for you. I've dressed you. I've done all that you can, but now I'm bringing you to school so that you can be taught the things that I don't know. And so you see, the law was very limited. We look at it and say, wow, look how complete that law is. Look how overwhelmingly big it is. But the purpose of the law and the scope of the law is very, very small. All it can do is show you, hey, you're in a lot of trouble. You got to do something, get something to fix this. So that law was that schoolmaster that tutored us or brought us, took us and transported us. In some parts of Tennessee, especially Middle Tennessee, they say, we're going to carry you over. I'm going to carry somebody. And some people say it here as well, but say, we're going to carry him over to pay their light bill. We're going to carry him over this. And most other people say, well, we're going to drive you over. But they say, we're going to carry you. And so what that schoolmaster would do, that schoolmaster, which is the law now, it would carry us to the point and drop us off at the gates of that school, the door of that school, to say, now you can really get what you need. And the law was that schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. So what did the law do for you? One of the things it says is you're supposed to obey your parents, honor your father and mother. You didn't, neither did I. You say, oh, I did some, but you didn't all the time. I remember one time I was coming around the house and I was coming in the house and mom asked me to do something and I said the right thing, but I didn't say it in the right way. So in our house, not only did you say the right thing, you said the right way. And so just my luck, dad was inside not out working when I said it like that. And boy, you talk about moving. That old man, he wasn't that young then either. He get in there in a hurry and he certainly instructed me that that was not acceptable in his house. I was talking this morning about people saying, this is my room. Dad wouldn't have known anything about my room. He said, but the whole place is mine. It says, obey your parents. I did not. It says, thou shalt not lie. I did. It says, thou shalt not steal. I didn't listen. It says, it says not to have any other gods before me. All of us, to some degree, we haven't bowed down to idols. I doubt anybody in here has. But we put things above that book. We put stuff above the God. We put stuff above his house. We have had other gods before me. So what did that schoolmaster law do? It hit me smack dab in the face to show me that I needed to get to Christ in a hurry. And so as we see this, we understand that that law that we might not always enjoy, it did a great deal in your life to get you, or did all of it, to get you to Christ. Can I just give an application to that as well? Sometimes we all hate rules. We have magnified or lifted up rebels in our land. People say, oh, I just go my own way. We've even, singers in the past, I did it my way. You know, we have lifted up, elevated those people that says, that's the rule, but I don't go by the rules. Can I tell you that a way, the smart way to live is to have rules around your life? You say, do you always follow that rules? No, but by having them in my life, it realizes when I need to get right. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many of you think that's a pretty good one? If we're married, we do, don't we? And we understand that rule after rule after rule. Don't ever let folks get you thinking that, wow, we have a new chapter of Christianity. We don't have all those rules. Well, the Bible says a lot about those rules. And those rules, they keep you safe. Give the old illustration that some preacher gave years ago, and it was this little yapping dog that he was just yap, 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 a little small one. On the other side of the fence was a big old Doberman or a Rottweiler or something. And you know how that little yapping dog would have been. He was just like, let me at him. He's like one of those characters on one of those cartoons. Let me at him. Let me at him. He was just yak, 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 yak. And then he didn't realize, but that fence that surrounded the yard that he was in was the only thing that stood between him and certain destruction. You know, we got that little Yorkie at our house. We're figuring one of these days a hawk will come and back there in Margie's yard, or Margie's field behind us, hawk come by and scoop her up and take her somewhere. But the fence with that, around that little dog in that old illustration is the only thing. And I can imagine that little dog thinking, if only this fence wasn't here. If only this fence wasn't here, I'd make mincemeat out of that big old thing. No, that big old thing would have eaten you in one bite. But that road, or that fence rather, around that yard, around that field, was there for protection. And then I think about the other illustration of on a road. We see those guardrails that are by. It'd be easy to say, those guardrails, boy, oh boy, those guardrails are, they're really restrictive. Telling me where I can't go and where I shouldn't go and keeping me from going in that field where I want to go. And then once in a while out here on 26, we'll see a big stretch of guardrail that's just been rolled up by somebody hitting it. Thank God for the guardrail that was there to keep that person in the protection of the road. And so I want you to see tonight as we conclude that that law that sometimes we think is restrictive, we ought to be more free. There's been seasons in our nation's history, and certainly we're in it again, we just don't use the same terminology, where it says we want to be free, free to love who we want, free to do what we want, free to go where we want, free to bathe if we want, free to clean up if we want, free to do all these things. But some structure in our life shows us how needy we are. And then as an application, structure in your family, structure in your marriage, structure in your job, structure in everything else keeps us going where we ought to be. So don't get to the place where you detest the law. It was that law that brought you to Christ. I remember lying awake at night worrying that I wouldn't go to heaven if I were to die that evening. Why would a person worry those things? Why would they fret over that? Because I knew that I was a sinner. How do you know you're a sinner? Because the Word of God says how you're supposed to live. And because I didn't live in the way that this law indicated I should, that put the infraction deep on my mind that, wait a minute, if I can't measure up to this, then I'm in huge trouble. So those that try to say we don't like the law anymore, certainly we all know in things in the Old Testament, there's ceremonial law that was back then that we don't follow anymore about dietary and ceremonial and all those. We understand that. But that moral law that was put forth, it was then showing people they needed a Messiah. It now shows us that we still need a Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you would help us now as we've looked into this little section of Scripture. Lord, I pray that we would understand as we looked, first of all, that all the way back from Abraham, you've kept your promises. Lord, you've never let down on that as he was shown how vast his lineage would be, dear Lord. It's remained true. And then as you promised that you would protect them, dear Lord, that's also remained true all the way down through these ages. But Lord, we know that as the law came around some years and years later, that it had its purpose to show us it couldn't clean us, it couldn't make us righteous, but it did show us our need so that we'd be turned to Christ. And then that law, it certainly did pick us up and carry us to show us our need for Jesus Christ, our Messiah. If you're here tonight and you're sure you're saved, and the vast majority, I'm sure that the answer would be yes, then I challenge you to spend a little time thanking God for your salvation and then thanking Him for some, whether it was an old preacher or an old Sunday school teacher, a co-worker, whoever it was, that made you face basically the law, made you face the facts that you were not cutting the mustard. You weren't good enough on your own. And you ought to thank God for that person or those persons tonight. And thank God that He brought you face to face with your need. Would you stand together with me as the ladies play something through? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you're saved. Then tonight you ought to thank the Lord that you were shown your sin, because nobody gets saved without first realizing they're a sinner. And the only way we realize that we're a sinner is to realize that there's a law that I sin against. And God, when He brought that to your mind, made you realize that that was the beginning of the best days of your life. Because that's what showed you you were in trouble. And then as you were in trouble and God brought you to salvation and brought you to Jesus Christ. What a joy. Maybe you're here tonight as they continue to play. You're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. I hope that tonight you've been arrested with the realization that you're in big trouble. Because the Bible says if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of it all. That's a lot of weight on you. So much weight that you'll never make it to heaven because of that weight that will drag you to a devil's hell. If that's you tonight, realizing your need for something because you've broken God's law, would you step out and come and let Brother Daniel take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved and on your way to heaven. Let that law be the schoolmaster that carries you over and drops you off at the gates so that you can receive Christ. Thank you so much. You may look this way. And what a joy to be back in God's house tonight. And I trust that you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week. I appreciate your prayers. Many of you have mentioned to me your prayers for Amy and her family. Thank you for that. Please continue to do that if you don't mind. My mother-in-law, as far as we know, is still with us. So I haven't heard anything to the contrary from Amy over in Murfreesboro, but thank you so much for your prayers. If you're going to the couples retreat this Friday and Saturday and you did not get an email, be sure to see Brother Daniel before you leave. Got some information. We had so many we weren't able to stay in the hotel that we originally are in. I mean, we're in that hotel. We had to get a few rooms. Me and some of the staff were over in the other room, and then some other couples, hotel that is. And so we'll have a good time regardless of how it all works out. But we're excited about Brother Rabins over from North Carolina. They'll be our guest speakers and have a great time together on Friday night. But if you have any questions, please see Brother Daniel. And then, as he mentioned already, if you've got teenagers in your family, and you are invited down to the youth center downstairs, and they're having pizza and just some fellowship, and I think they're going to just have a good time together. So if that's you, then please make yourself at home down there. Have a wonderful time. But thank you for being in church. One last announcement. Brother Kyle told me after church today, we had a meal with the Richies, and that we had one young person saved up in junior church this morning. And so we thank God for people being saved here on the property. What a joy to hear the cry of the newborn when folks are born again. And so praise the Lord. That's our prayer when we come together, that the Lord would save anybody who doesn't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. So thank you so much for praying about that. And one last announcement. So the cancer ministry is meeting down the chapel. And so we want you to head down there if you're involved in that. And then Brother Gallion, how's your wife? She doing good? Had surgery, and so she'll have that biopsy, the report about that Thursday? Okay. Amen. Amen. So she had took a biopsy and got that report on this week. So you keep them lifted up in prayer if you would. So, all right. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.